It's awesome to be with you this morning, and I'm really excited to be bringing this next message, which is called The Healthy Believer, and it's part of our Healthy Body series. So I just wondered, when you saw the graphic for the first time, whether you maybe felt a little bit condemned. I know when it went out on the Facebook, there was a few like comments. Did you think that we were going to have a corporate enforcement of running clubs and diet clubs? You did? Well, I'd like to say there are benefit in both of those things. I'm not going to condemn them, but they absolutely are not what we're enforcing as part of this series. I do remember, though, when I was first in the church, some of you will remember, there was a weigh and pray group. And we used to turn up every week and we'd put our pound in. We didn't pray that we would lose weight. We prayed for the general needs of the church and for the community. But we did come, we did weigh. And when you put your pound in, I think if you lost the most weight in a particular time period, you got the cash. It was a pretty good idea. So maybe that's one to resurrect. I don't know. But the aim of this series is not about condemnation, but it's actually about an encouragement to review our current position and look at how we can improve. And the journey of 1,000 miles starts with one step. I think that's a Chinese proverb. But being healthy isn't just about our physical health. It's about our emotional health, and it's about our spiritual health. James gave us a bit of an introduction last week. I'm going to talk more about physical health today, and Pete's going to talk about the soul and the spirit in a couple of weeks. So by the end of this series, we'll have a really good idea of how we can seek wholeness and healthiness as Christians. But what does it mean to be healthy and whole? Well, James covered some of this last week, but I just wanted to go a little deeper and maybe have a little bit of a refresher. It means to be healthy means to be free from disease or pain. That speaks for itself. But did you know that it also means prosperous and flourishing? I love that. Do you not think that's beautiful? Prosperous and flourishing. It's about not just making ends meet, not just cutting it, not just existing. It's more than existing. It's about being the great and glorious people that God has called us to be. Prosperous and flourishing. It's not small or feeble, but it's considerable. That's out of the dictionary. Being healthy and whole is considerable, not small or feeble. It's a vigor of mind, body, and spirit. Vigor means an intensity of action or effect, or in other words, a force. So to be healthy is actually a force of mind, body, and spirit. Do you know that we are called to be powerful people? We serve a powerful God, but we are called to be a powerful people. And wholeness is the state of forming a complete and harmonious whole. It's about unity. We are called to unity today. God, the great designer, the great creator, created us, mind, body, spirit, and soul. And it is our prayer that, as Paul said in his letter to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 to 24, and this is out of the Message version because I just love the way that it reads. It says, "May God himself, the God who makes everything holy and whole, make you holy and whole. Put you together, spirit, soul, and body, and keep you fit for the coming of our Master, Jesus Christ. The one who called you is completely dependable. If he said it, he'll do it." So I just want to encourage you today that God wants you to be whole. He wants you to be healthy. And also that if there is a promise over your life, if you don't yet feel in this state of wholeness and healthiness, and there is a promise over your life that you will be, hold on to it. Because if God says it, he'll do it. And we'll give you a chance at the end to seek prayer. But it's God's intention that we have life. Health and life are synonymous. In John 10:10, it says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life, and life abundant." God wants us to live an abundant life. But that said, here's a little one for you. It's also our responsibility to look after our own health. Frederick Buchner once said, "Pay mind to your own life. your own health and your own wholeness. A bleeding heart is no help to anyone if it bleeds to death. And actually, this is something that speaks to me myself. I don't know about any of you, but I sometimes find myself with superhero complex. Anybody else have a superhero complex? Want to try and fix things, make everything better for everyone else, put everything that you need on the back burner and think it's okay? I have a saying, this is really unhealthy, so I'm just going to confess to you. Maybe you could pray for me at the end. But my saying is, there's time to rest when you're dead. I mean, that isn't healthy. It's funny that we are called to preach on these things, but actually what I've found is every subject I've preached on, God has challenged me on massively. But it's a bit like when you get on a plane. I don't know if you ever go on the plane, and the flight attendants, they give you the safety notices, don't they? And they say, you know, the exits are here, two there, and they show you the seatbelt. And then they say, what? What do you do in the event of an emergency? Anyone know? Huh? Take your shoes off. If you're going down that inflatable slide thing, yep. But maybe what about the oxygen masks? Put yours on first. Because if you don't put your own oxygen mask on, and you're not healthy yourself, you won't have the ability to help other people. So I just want to encourage you today that whilst we seek wholeness and health from God, as we look at this subject of physical health, to really think about what role we play. And I want to focus on the area of physical health. And in my view, there are five main reasons we should strive to be physically healthy. I think it's something that God has called us to. Firstly, it glorifies God and his creation. We have been set apart. And when we live healthy and wholesome lives, we give glory to God and the creation that he has given. In Romans 12, verses 1 to 2, it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Secondly, it's our bodies are God's temple. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. And I went a few years ago to do wine tasting. And I really enjoyed trying out all these different wines, and it changed my view on a number of different wines. But I'd always heard this theory that if you buy a bottle of wine, to know whether it's a good quality bottle of wine or not, you needed to check whether your thumb would fit in the bottom of the bottle. Because a bottle with an indent in it generally is a better wine. And I said to the person, the expert, the wine expert, why is that? And he said, well, actually, it's not so much about the wine, it's more about the bottle. So interestingly, it's more expensive to create a bottle that has the hole in the bottom. And the interesting thing about that is that you wouldn't necessarily put bad wine in an expensive bottle. That doesn't make sense, does it? So you know that if they've invested in the bottle, then the wine is probably going to be worthy of its contents. But this is the other way round with God. You see, the most holy and awesome contents are placed in the most common jar of clay. But don't we want our bottle to be worthy of the contents? Don't we want our physical bodies to be worthy of the glorious Holy Spirit that lives within us? So it glorifies God and his creation. It's his temple. Also, it's a good witness and a good example of how to live. You know, we're called to set ourselves apart, to live a life that is honoring to God, to be a good example for those who don't yet know him. And it made me think about that story, and I'm not going to go into it for time, but of Daniel in Babylon. You know, Daniel lived a life that was honoring to God, and he kept his diet in the way that he believed it should be. He didn't go for the excesses of Babylon, but stuck to what he believed God was going to call him to, because it was a good witness and a good example. Fourthly, it gives us more energy. And I really want to tell you that you can do more and achieve more for God if you are physically healthy. It's just, that's the way it is. And fifthly, it's an act of thanksgiving. You don't take a treasured gift, So one of the things that James got me for my birthday last year was a new engagement ring, which I was very pleased about, because when we first got engaged, we didn't have a lot of money, and the stone fell out of my original engagement ring, which was really sad. And then I had to pay twice as much for the stone to be put back in as the ring cost originally, which I thought was a bit sad. And then it still wasn't safe, so I didn't wear it. And James had decided that that year was the year to give me this ring, which I was really grateful for. But I don't just leave it lying around and put it in my pocket and drop it on the floor. I look after it, I treasure it, and I make sure it's safe. You see, you don't give a you don't take a treasured gift and treat it badly. You honour the giver by taking care of the gift. And God has given us life and life abundant. He has given us our physical bodies, and we want to treat them well so that we may offer an act of thanksgiving to our God. So then, we know why we should look after our bodies, but how do we go about that? How can we attain physical health? Well, I think there are six key things. The first is invest in our emotional health. I'm going to talk about each of these in a minute. Secondly, get enough rest. So when you say to yourself, there's a time to rest when you're dead, that really isn't a good advert for what God is calling you to. So I'm going to make a commitment today to never say that again. So if you hear me say it, please tell me off. Thirdly, you need to keep hydrated. Make sure you're getting lots of fluid. Fourthly, you need to eat well and get the right nutrition. Fifthly, you need to exercise, stretch, and breathe. And six, you need to avoid unhealthy lifestyle options. So some of the decisions that we can make in our lives can have a really negative impact on our health. So I'm going to talk through some of these. So the first thing is that physical health is intrinsically linked to our emotional health. James talked about this a bit last week, but I kind of wanted to really delve into the depths of this. There are so many medical studies that have looked into this, and I want to tell you that the results are shocking. So are you ready? When you express affection for another person, when you talk about them and you tell them how much you love them, did you know it can reduce your cholesterol? So if there are any people in here who are a bit older and married and your cholesterol is terrible, you just need to love your spouses and tell them more how much you love them, and it will have a positive impact on your health. Here's one. What about arguing? Any couples in here argue? JP, put your hand up. Right. So arguing for 30 minutes can reduce your physical healing by half a day. So if you break your leg and you argue for 30 minutes, it will take you half a day longer to heal your broken leg than it would have if you didn't. Or if you had a cold and you were feeling grumpy and that caused you to row, you would reduce your chances of getting over your cold by half a day. Does that blow anybody's mind? It's true. Short-term stress. Here's a good one. Everybody says that stress is bad, but there are two kinds of stress. And one kind of stress, which is a short-term stress, is actually really good for you. It's proven that the best place that you can be is not being too comfortable and not being in chronic stress, but somewhere in the middle. What it does is it boosts your immunity. It raises levels of cancer-fighting molecules. So you're actually in a much stronger position when you live slightly outside of your comfort zone. And it's interesting, isn't it, that God asks us all the time to step out of our comfort zone. But what about chronic stress? So that's really bad. So chronic stress causes memory loss. Your accuracy is impaired. It raises your risk of cardiovascular disease and diabetes. So it's not a place you want to stay in for very long. Here's a good one for me. Suppression of emotion or bottling things up. So if you bottle up your emotions and you never let them out, this is really scary. You are twice as likely to have cancer, a heart attack, or a stroke. So it's very important that we express our emotional being. Here's one for you, Jennifer. Crying. Woo! Crying is very good for you. It improves your emotional health. So it's actually a release and it helps you feel better. What about this one? Falling in love. Oh, falling in love restores your nervous system. It triggers brain cell growth and it improves memory. So, and that's for 12 months. So that when you first fall in love, for 12 months, that's the benefit that you get. But after that 12 months, you love each other a lot and you go back to step one, where you express how much you love the other person and the benefits continue. So it's great. Depression causes actual physical pain in our bodies. When we laugh, it improves sleep, it improves our healing ability and reduces our chance of heart attacks. And if we don't cry, it causes anxiety, weakened immune systems, impaired memory, and poor digestion. So there's some of the simple ones. I'm going to throw three out there now that are a bit more tricky. Jealousy, the most evil, in my view, of the emotions. It's the one that grips hold of you and causes like a cancer inside you. Jealousy causes increased blood pressure, heart stress, weakened immunity, and anxiety. Unforgiveness. It's no wonder that God talks about forgiveness all the time. It increases your chance of cancer and chronic diseases and anxiety. Those negative emotions, those things that God calls us to put aside, to let go, to seek healing for, are the very things that have the power to kill us. We must get rid of unforgiveness and jealousy. It must happen. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to pray for that at the end if that's something that you're struggling with. But lastly, the one I want to really pick up is gratitude. Did you know that gratitude, being thankful, actually boosts your immunity, it lowers your blood pressure, and it speeds up healing? So saying, thank you, God, thank you that you love me, thank you that you care for me, even though I'm in this situation, even though I have this issue, Lord, I'm believing that you're going to get me through it, and I just want to thank you for your love and your care, actually improves your ability to heal. It's amazing. In Proverbs 17:22, it says, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up bones. Joyce Meyer once said, many people ruin their health and their lives by taking the poison of bitterness, resentment, and unforgiveness. In Matthew 18:23-35, it says that if we do not forgive people, we get turned over to the torturers. So there we are. And I've seen that in my own life. When I was growing up, I had a lot of unforgiveness. And in the lives of the people that I love who are still battling with unforgiveness now, it is a poison of bitterness that gets in. Lee Strobel confirmed this when he said, the medical evidence is clear and mounting. It's no exaggeration to say bitterness is a dangerous drug in any dosage and that your very health is at risk if you stubbornly persist in being unforgiving. But fear not. It's okay. It is okay. In 1 Peter 1 verse 5, it says, we who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation. By faith, we are shielded by God's power. We can ask him for help in all things. We can seek the peace of God. In Philippians 4, verse 6 to 7, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I love this verse. It actually made me cry yesterday when I read it, and I really understood what it meant. This idea of guarding our hearts, it's a military concept which depicts a sentry standing guard at the entrance to our heart. And God's protective custody of us extends beyond just our outside, but it goes deep into the core of our being and our deepest intentions. If we seek God in every situation, he will guard our hearts. And we can find emotional health, when we give thanks to God in every situation. Secondly, we need to get enough rest. So this is a big one. And I want to raise a subject that's not very popular in modern Christian circles. I want to talk about the Sabbath. Sabbath is outlined in Exodus 20, verse 8 to 11, as a holy day of rest. And it says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. The thing about Sabbath is, it's countercultural. It's countercultural. We're told to always be busy. But whether we observe a Sabbath on a Saturday or on a Sunday, it's kind of irrelevant, you know? But we must seek Sabbath. An old Puritan saying was that great Sabbaths make great Christians. Great Sabbaths make great Christians. This is an area I struggle with myself. But if we're saying we're too busy or we don't have time for a Sabbath, then we're probably the most in need of one. It's really important that we take time to pause. And the thing is, if you don't do it, what then happens is you end up in that place of chronic stress that affects your physical health. And then, like me, you probably have a little bit of a mental breakdown. I remember a few years ago, we were super busy. Lots was going on. I was working. We had the church. James was working. We had our family and, you know, people were sick in the family. It was really a difficult time. And I had the mantra of, I've got time to rest when I'm dead. And it got to January and I was beside myself. I wasn't admitting it to myself, but I was absolutely beside myself. And the only thing I could really do, I felt, was run away. And so my dad had given us some money for Christmas. And James said, what do you want to spend this money on? And I said, I want to go and stay in a shepherd's hut. So we went to Derbyshire and we stayed in this shepherd's hut, which was at the bottom of someone's garden, basically. And it had like a separate shower and everything, but it was literally no bigger than this. It was tiny, tiny. It had no Wi-Fi, no mobile phone signal, nothing. It just looked out over the Derbyshire Dales. And we just went there and we prayed and we spent time together and we just had quiet. And I really needed that. And that saved me. But if I had taken a moment, I didn't need the shepherd's hut. I just needed to take a moment every now and then in my life to take Sabbath, to take stock, to take a breath, and to really seek God in that moment. And I'm encouraging you to do that too. And the thing is, we have to understand the difference between Sabbath and social time. Yeah, because we always say we want to have a social life, don't we? And we want to have leisure days and holidays and days out, and we're constantly filling our children's time with things. We're going to go to this play group, and then we're going to go to that soft play area, and then we're going to go to the park and meet our friends, and then we're going to do this, and we fill our time. We're going to watch this TV show, this film. But that's not Sabbath. That's leisure time. Sabbath is about family and about being together. But it's about being together in the quiet. It's about seeking God and having a holy moment and a time of rest. I don't know about you, but James has got a really, he loves his football. And on a Saturday, he often takes Alfie to the football. And we've been a few times. And it's fun and we have an amazing family time. But we don't come back rested. If we use all of our free time doing fun things, we're going to burn out. So I just really want to encourage you to really take time to breathe and to observe the Sabbath. Thirdly, we need to hydrate, which goes without saying. I'm not going to dwell on that one. We need to eat well and get the right nutrition. Lots of proof is that certain foods have great healing properties, in some cases better than the pharmaceutical options. But there are so many fad diets and ridiculous schemes out there. We just need to keep it simple. You need to drink lots of water and you need to have a balanced diet. In 1 Timothy 4 verse 7 to 8 it says, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Fifthly, we need to exercise, stretch, and breathe. It's great for building strength and stamina. In Mark 12, verse 30, this is a scripture you'll all know really well. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your what? Strength. You see, we're called to be strong in those things. And as we stretch, as we exercise, we become fitter and more healthy. Also, exercise helps our mental health and our emotional health. And one of my preachers wouldn't be one of my preachers without a Legally Blonde quote. So in Legally Blonde, there's a girl, she's accused of murdering her husband. There's lots of evidence to suggest she did it. Elle Woods, the solicitor, the lawyer, is convinced that she didn't do it. And when this lady is asked about why she doesn't do it, or when Elle Woods is asked why she couldn't have done it, Elle Woods says very succinctly, well, she does a lot of exercise and exercise videos. And exercise give you endorphins. Endorphins make you happy. And happy people just don't murder their husbands. They just don't. And I want to encourage you today that actually your physical working out will actually improve your mental health. You also need prayer and meditation because it's good for your soul. And sixthly and finally, we're called to avoid unhealthy lifestyle options. There are so many scriptures that I could read to you. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1, which says, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and soul, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Ephesians 5 verses 3 to 4 tells us to not even have a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Romans talks about, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. They go on and on and on. This verse is a call for Christians to become in practice what they have already become in their status before God. We are dead to sin and alive in God. We must have a refusal to let sin reign and recognize the rule of the Lord. And thirdly, we must offer ourselves to the Lord. And the way that we can do it, the way we can make wise decisions, is to go to the Word of God. We always think about the Ten Commandments and the Law of Moses. And we tend to say in the New Testament, we just cover it with this word grace, and you know, it's fine, and we don't have to live a particular way. Well, I want to tell you that there are over 1,000 instructions in the New Testament about how to live, and they're grouped into 69 headings. Just to give you a few examples, there are 74 B's, there are 30 B nots, there are 10 things to do, 10 things not to do, 100 lets, 12 let's nots, 42 let us, 8 let us not, and the list goes on and on and on. But the New Testament is absolutely key to us understanding how we live a godly life. We are to submit to him in all things. The scandal of submission is that in the modern age, we find it to be a dirty word. We see it as a form of oppression, as a cruel and unjust exercise of authority. But submission is a willful choosing to yield to the authority of a higher power. In this case, Christ, with the recognition that whatever that submission requires is for our own good and our own benefit. Please can I encourage you to submit to the will of God in your life and to seek him and to know what it is that he says in his word about how to live your life. Often the rules that we find oppressive, don't drink, don't take drugs, don't be promiscuous, don't overeat, are actually for our own benefit. Adherence to rules or making decisions where no rules are present should all be based on a scripture from Corinthians 10:31, which says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. This isn't about religiosity and living a religious life and following the rules because we have to, and if we don't, then we're going to face eternal damnation. That is not what this message is bringing. But it's about submitting to God in all things and doing whatever we do to bring glory to God. And also how we use our money and our attitude to money can have a huge consequence on our life. In 1 Timothy 6 verse 10, it says, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. The Bible teaches us to give of our time and our money and our lives as a response to the many blessings that we have been given. And by giving of our time and our money and our lives, we'll feel fulfilled. And when we feel fulfilled, we'll have emotional health. When we have emotional health, we will have physical health. Billy Graham once said, when wealth is lost, nothing is lost. When health is lost, something is lost. But when character is lost, all is lost. Our circumstances, positive or negative, do not change the providence of God. Therefore, we must spend time in the Word and prayer and seek God's will for our lives, that we may be blessed. I just want to finish with this. Being healthy and pursuing physical health will help us to complete the work that God has called us to. We're called to run the race, to be part of an army. Athletes and warriors are in the prime of their physical fitness, and so should we be. But really, as I close, what if we're not where we want to be? I know I'm not. Charles Spurgeon once said, I venture to say that the greatest earthly blessing that God can give to any of us is health, with the exception of sickness. Sickness has frequently been of more use to the saints of God than health has. I think it's God's intention that we all be whole and healthy. But there are many things in this world, as a result of the fall, as a result of our own actions, maybe as a result of the persecution of others, or maybe natural disasters or natural circumstances, or dare I even say it, our own behaviour, that makes health and wholeness not necessarily a reality in each and every one of our lives. But I believe that God does not waste a single thing. I believe when we experience sickness, God always uses it for a greater good. Sickness gives us the greatest opportunity to show God's blessing. If you are unwell today, we want to pray for you to receive full healing. And we believe that God has the power to do that, and he will do it in this place. But whatever the reason that holds us back from health and wholeness, we must come before God and ask for wisdom, strength, perseverance, and healing. I'm wondering if the band would come back. We want to give you the opportunity now, as the band comes back, we want to pray for anyone who wishes to see an increase of health in their lives. And I want to finish really with a prayer, which is from 3 John 1, verse 2. It says this, Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. God has an intention for us to be whole in every part of our lives, physical, emotional, and spiritual. And as the band play, I would love it if you would come forward. And if you need to seek prayer for healing in any one of those areas, I'd love you to come forward. Especially in relation to this emotional healing. If there are things in your life like bitterness and unforgiveness that are holding you back, I pray that you would come forward, and we will pray that the chains that bind you would be broken in this place today, that you may be set free into the fullness of everything that God has got for you. And if, like me, you struggle to find a Sabbath, if you are in need of rest, I pray you would come and receive from God this morning the peace that passes all understanding, and that God may encourage you and give you the guidance that you need to find peace and Sabbath in your life. Please come forward. In Jesus' name, amen.